Oikos came into being, and right at the heart of the church then, though it wasn't called Oikos, it was called Short Heath Community Church, or maybe it was a church with no name, I don't know, at that point. But behind the heart of it was really, we want to reach people for Christ. There's lots of churches in Birmingham and in lots of different places, but this isn't a response to being different than other churches. This is a response to the amount of lostness. As Dan said this morning, it's okay. As Dan was saying, the fields are white into harvest. So planting a church was a response to lostness and people not knowing Jesus, rather than, oh, I think we can do something better than that church. God has put together all sorts of different churches to work in different ways, with different ways of organizing themselves, different governance, under his word, for his purposes. And so our desire, but we wanted to say, let's organize ourselves in such a way that we will focus on reaching those people who don't know Jesus, and doing it in such a way that it's something that leads those who already love Jesus to be built up in his purposes. And then over time, as we worked that out, the Lord led us to three things that we now have underneath our logo, which is Family Missionary Servant. And we found it a helpful thing to identify who we felt we were in Christ. So we felt that when Jesus says, go and baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, there was something of being under God's care, being his family. That we were baptized in the name of the Son, who is the great servant, therefore we become his servants under his leadership. And that we were being sent out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, as Dan said today, we are his missionaries, and that every one of us, our identity when we get baptized is that we become disciples. And there's lots of different words you could use. We're just using these words to describe us, that we become his family, become his servants, and become his missionaries. And these are identities. These are not things that we are doing to start with. They are things that we are. And then out of the overflow of who we are, the things that become the things that we do. Does that make sense? And so so that was important to us, that we didn't just end up falling into the trap of just doing things, doing ministries, doing programs, doing things for the sake of doing things. And I've worked in churches where they've got a program and it's been going for 25 years, and it's their pride and joy. But when you ask them why they're doing it, they don't remember anymore. And that's because sometimes you just get a little bit of drift. And so to keep us from drifting, we said it would be helpful if we knew who we are. So when things grew and multiplied and people joined, it was just very simple to live out those three identities. And also to imagine what it might be like to live out those identity. And right from the beginning, we were very keen on being shaped for mission and gathering, and we knew probably that when we grew to a size that was more than one house could take, that there would have to be some sort of multiplication of the way in which we were living out being family together and being missionaries and being servants. And again, long story short, without going through all the different ways in which the Lord has led us, Lord led us to think in terms of being a church of gospel communities. So I'm going to use that word gospel communities. I'm going to explain for those who don't know what they are. So we would say that a gospel community is a family of missionary servants whose purpose is to make disciples make disciples. Okay, so that's all the stuff that I've been just talking about. So a gospel community is a family of missionary servants who make disciples. And so there needed to be a way in which we could live life together that meant that we could know intimacy with one another, and that we could focus on being on mission. So on Sundays, this was also important to us, they were the church gathered. They were the gospel communities, which are the church, gathering together for celebration of Quickpin. And the gospel communities were like the church scattered, as in sent out as families on mission. So we had a clear focus that we should be family. So it's not just about mission, but we'll be a family serving one another, loving one another, caring for one another, knowing what's going on in each other's lives, that we wouldn't just be a gathering where, nice to meet you, see you next week, and then we know nothing about what's going on in people's lives. But we wanted to care, love, and nurture for one another. But we were on mission. We were doing the will of the Father together. And in different ways, in different times, those gospel communities have had some corporate missional focus together. And that being slightly different, or the collective expression of being people who are family, who are missionaries, who are servants, who are trying to live for Christ in everyday life, in everyday things, trying to display the gospel and declare the gospel to people. So we wanted to find out when we started the church, could we make disciples? Could we make disciples? Not could a church program make disciples, or a system of starting at one end and popping out the other make a disciple. Yeah, but whether could we, and when I say we, I mean obviously the Holy Spirit is doing it, but like could we be instruments in his hands to nurture faith, to share faith, to know what it was when somebody had come to faith, and then help them to grow in the Lord so that they too would know what it meant to follow him and that they would love him. Yeah. You know, we wanted people to love the Lord their God with all their heart, with their soul, with their mind. I suppose what I'm saying is nothing's changed. That is where we are right now. We continue to want to go after the lost sheep. We want to go after the prodigal sons. We want folks to come to know the Lord. Of course, people are welcome to join us on that mission. Absolutely. What did Jesus say? Pray for workers. Why? Because the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. He knows that we need to have hands that are ready to be used, and that the more hands there are ready to be used, the more fruitful that pursuing of people will be. And so we came across, or the Lord led us to organizing ourselves around gospel communities. Now, a gospel community is therefore, I'm just going to use some words, a small group, as it were, within the church. But it's not a small group. It's not the typical small group. It is not merely a Bible study and wave you goodbye. This is family. This is like living together, loving together, sharing together, sharing what we have, sharing our possessions, sharing our time, sharing our energy, sharing our prayers, our focus, resources, everything. We want to care for one another. And I think probably that's what, maybe one of the reasons those who've been around for a long time just love being part of this small little body of Christ here in the north of Birmingham, is just that we just love being loved by one another. And rightly so. And so we want that. So it is a small group, but it's more than just a small group. It's a people who are loving and caring for one another, who are helping one another in their needs, who are walking alongside, who know one another and are able to encourage each other in the Lord with the full counsel of God, sometimes encouragement, sometimes rebuke, sometimes just listening and saying nothing. But all desiring that we would grow in the Lord. And we have often described these groups as being living life on life together, life in on mission and life in community together. And so again, these things haven't changed. We just believe that it's, I'm not saying the only way to live life as church, but it's just a very effective way to be supported, be connected, have a focus. So each of these gospel communities have had a corporate mission focus, and there have been ones where, when we first started, they were just merely geographical, and actually the missional focus wasn't really anything more than friends and family. We tried to make it slightly more, some groups more effective than others in terms of what that would be that we would do. Then we changed a little bit and said, well, why don't we come up with a way in which we are going to reach people? And they became not less geographical, because obviously we're only talking about a very small area where people are from. You know, we're only talking maybe 3 mile radius that we all live, well, maybe a few don't, but you know, yeah, okay, but we can deal with the anomalies. But you know, in general, our history has been that folks have really only come to us who've lived close by, whether that be the furthest in Boldmere and down into sort of Stotling Green area. It's not been a wide scope, so we've all been quite close enough to live life together. But then we said, well, if we do live quite close in Erdington, maybe it doesn't really matter that you live on the north side of Erdington or the west side of Erdington. We can just all connect together in that. And we try to identify some ways where we could be on mission together. So we had folks trying to reach internationals. The guys in Boldmere using Knit Night and Curry Club and various other things. We had the family GC, and then the kind of food GC, which morphed quite quickly into welcome GC. So that's kind of, we've been rightly learning as we go to say, in this season of life, how can we be most fruitful and effective? And that's really at the heart of anything that we do, is not to, not just trying to tweak things, we're just trying to learn as we go. But also we want to be supportive to one another's. And what I would say is that the church, in terms of being family and servants, I think have totally excelled. This is not, I'm not going to get, you're not going to get a little report. I know it's the end of school. But I just think that those things have been things that we have done well and we've enjoyed doing and have come more naturally to us. The mission side of things, we've been faithful, that's absolutely sure, in doing the things which God has caused us to do together. But because it's kind of the area that's most otherly, you know, because like family you can kind of get, because generally we have people around us and we can experience something of that. Servants we kind of get, but mission is where maybe we think, well, I don't know what my part is to play in that. Does that make sense? So you think, well, I'm not really a very good talker about Jesus. You know, well, what's my part to play in that? So it's not like they have not been effective. We have seen people come to the Lord. Yeah, we've seen a lot. You know, in terms of the size of the church and over the years we've done it, we as people. Vicky said this to me. He said, if we said that we weren't a missional church, people would probably laugh at us. So I'm not saying we're not missional, I'm just saying there may be ways in which we can do that together that may help and encourage us and support us a little bit more in terms of where we are right now. And so I suppose that is kind of what we are just wanting to talk about together, that aspect of being gospel communities. How can we be on mission together in those gospel communities in a way that's effective to support one another? And if you got the letter and you were able to read that, I just gave a few kind of examples of the things that were mulling through our heads. You know, how do we identify the mission opportunities that are present, the ones that might be coming in the future? How do we work out how that works with the patterns and the rhythms of our lives and the life of our community and the season that our church is in? How do we have gospel communities that help and encourage and take advantage of existing relationships that we already have with unbelievers, as well as develop new ones? How do we think about ministry in the long term? A lot of things that we have done have been kind of, what's the right word? I want to say responsive, but they They've been quite nimble. We've been able to do something, do that, tweak it, change it. But what about some of the long-term needs of our church? And we highlighted, or we've talked about before, like children. We probably, as we grow, will continue and always have children. So what we don't want is a ministry that pops up, does something for a couple of years, and then disappears. We need to have a long-term picture on how we love and care for children into their teenage years, their families, and care for them. So that would be kind of an example of just chewing over how we do that. And then we just want to be faithful in the things that we are doing. I think the gospel communities, at least we experienced this in ours, we had, it's okay to try things and to learn from both success and failure in trying things, but we can't always be a church that's always doing something that lasts for a year and then changes. We need to put some stakes in the ground as we move forward. Now, maybe when there are other, you know, quite a number of gospel communities, we can have some of those ones who are going, well, we're going to give this a try. Brilliant. Fantastic. Go and break some new ground. But it's hard to do that when there maybe are some clearer needs. Sorry, the little boy's just woken up and he's worrying. Okay. So when there are some actual needs right now that we do need to be consistent in. So again, it's all balancing that. So these are some of the things which we just thrown out there to say that we have been chewing over and discussing together, because we want to do what the Lord wants us. Unless the Lord builds a house, the laborers labor in vain. That's what Scripture says. So we don't want to labor in vain in areas where we could be more fruitful in others, because we're doing what we think the Lord wants us to do. That is kind of the sort of discussions or the thought processes that have come to this point. So I don't know if anyone has any questions just about that big picture stuff that they would just love to be clarified or confirmed. If you're new and you just feel free to ask a question, it doesn't matter if everybody else already knows the answer to it. It would be great just to share.
Jess, I'm happy to interject something, and I suppose the fact that this is in such an open group may be quite surprising. Well, does it not reflect how Shirley and I have found who you are? Your son came out of school a number of weeks ago and said something to you, the words I may have forgotten, but the heart intent I have not. And that is a counter direction in the whole base of where you as a people are coming from. Question mark. Is the Lord wanting a receptivity, a reach, to come into your church whereby there is an audience of permission to understand more fully the world that is going on? Now, that might sound very, very bizarre, but one reason why it's not bizarre is there an urgency in the whole climate of our world that what you constantly speak of is echoing much, much closer than what many people would view it to be?
Yes.
Now, Jez, the reason why this matters is it has huge impact on discipling matters. Because if your outlook is there is huge expansions of time and large areas of space, then that is going to be wonderful. But what if those areas are in more flux?
Yeah.
Now, what Shirley and I saw in the city, right at the very, very core, when we were in a permissional situation with a denomination, was a large number of people that were kind of thinking, well, this has nothing much to do with us. Now, Jez, you know already, through who we are, that that voice about things are changing and shifting is really dynamic. Mm. Now, I don't know, Kenny, and I don't know, Jez, how much in missionary reach this is being accommodated. But if it's not being accommodated, now, our taste of it at the very, very start of our lives came through Christian schooling. And for some reason, the Lord laid on our hearts of Shirley and I that we weren't to do school ordinary. It mattered what we were doing with our child. Hmm. Now, we did not go to a book for that. That was the work of God.
Hmm.
Now, I would love to know that there is someone else here in this room other than the two people, because we feel very, very as if, Lord, you know what's going on here, but this is hard.
Yeah.
Now, before you answer, let me say one thing. You have a heart for people who are hurting. The very birthing denomination that Shirley found for her life by a miracle route is exactly that route.
Mm.
And every single time we come into this area, we get a sense that the world is so broken in this area that it cannot just sort of, let's say, pretend. It can't do that, Jez.
Mm.
Now, I hope there's words of encouragement by what's being shared.
Yes.
And please, Shirley, would you say something if you feel?
Yeah. I think, if I've heard you right, I think our desire is to reach all men and women, obviously, all mankind, that we find ourselves coming into contact with, and whether they be in the marketplace, in our work, you know, workplace in the marketplace, or whether they be our neighbours or our friends, whether they be from Erdington or they be from a more affluent area, our desire is to share Christ. And our belief is the gospel is able to cut through culture and speak a truth that does resonate with people's lostness, that when there's a stillness in people's lives, a place of stopping still, that people recognize that all is not well with them. On the outside, it may well be well with them. To the world's looking, it may be very, very well with them. So I think we need to go to wherever God might send us and put us. And what we've discovered over time is that the Lord has put each of us in different spheres of influences by which we can share Christ with people. And that people also have their own individual passions to share Christ. So there will be folks here who have a passion, say, around a leisure thing, and it puts them in contact and relationship with people. There are people who maybe have a real passion to get alongside those who, I don't know, who've experienced a particular type of hurt, and we want to encourage that being involved in whatever area of life that God would have them. And then as a church, as a family, we're saying, here are some of the ways in which we think together we could be working together that would help and support one another, recognizing that we won't be able to be involved in every area or facet, but totally, yes, believe that the gospel is is needed to go into the places people's lives, and that we need to learn how to minister to different types of people in different places. Yes, there's a great need. Harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So I don't know if that answers, but maybe shares a little bit about where, as a church, we are excited to be involved.
I think the only counter reply in a gentle way is all of the people here are in a world now that has been shaken.
Yes.
And it's wonderful that Ofsted is going to the schools and writing the words, "You are outstanding." You are outstanding if you deny Calvary is where it nearly is at.
Absolutely. And the world has always been like this, hasn't it? You know, there's been peaks and flows in different times and periods in different places, and yes, we are in a unique place in this country's history where we've swung back again to the rejection of God's truth. This has happened before, and God's church has continued to grow and to go, and to me it provides an opportunity to be seized, you know, rather than one to be feared. So yeah, we're excited about that. Anybody else have a question? No? Okay, well, I'm just going to hand out, or get somebody else to hand out. Here's a sheet of paper that we sent round with just some details about the gospel communities that we were trying to set up. And by the way, if I didn't understand your question, you can talk to me afterwards, and we can, if I didn't answer it, I thought I was answering it, but if I didn't, and there's more clarity to be had, grab me afterwards, and I'll happily share. So the gospel communities. We, after some conversation together, as elders and then as some of the leaders, we decided that there would be three missional focuses or priorities at this time that we wanted to gather around. Maybe not just three groups, but just three priorities, and then we'd work out what that was. So in front of you, you'll see that there are descriptions. You can take this back and you can read this. It was on the email with the letter that you hopefully were able to read. But I'll just give you a brief description of three areas where we felt the GCs could work together to support ministry. The first one was under the area of welcome. Now, we've been doing this already. We have had a welcome GC. And when we talk about welcome, we've been using three C's: welcome to Christ, welcome to the community, and welcome to church. Yes? So there's a way in which we can be on mission to people who come for the first time or connect for the first time with any of those three areas. So there's people in the community of Birmingham and North Birmingham who are coming into our city. They don't know the city. Maybe they don't know this area. This GC is saying, how can we welcome these people? What sort of welcome can we give? And we know that there are refugees. We know there's Eastern Europeans who aren't refugees. We know that there are just people who've moved into the north. And we want to make sure that they get a warm welcome into this community. And so there's various ways in which we do that. And the gospel community has got to work out what they do. But that's one area. But another area is welcome to Christ. And we've been running the Christianity Explored groups. We've run two are these groups where we're just opening the Bible, and this has been right at the heart of who we are as a church. We want to point people to the Word, and there's an encouragement to all of us that in some way, all these GCs, we should be maybe doing some of the work of it ourselves anyway. But so I'm not saying RGC's welcomes people to Christ. You don't welcome people to Christ. It's our remit, not your remit. No, no, we should all be doing it. But what we've found is that some folks feel much more confident in inviting people to, say, a group, rather than doing some one-on-one stuff with folks. I hope and pray the one-on-one evangelism with people will just continue. But the GC is saying, look, we're going to put on these things. Every term, we'll put on one in the evening, in the daytime, and we'll see who comes to it. They have been very fruitful. We had Shemi here this morning, a Polish guy. First time he's been to the church, he's come through Christianity Explored. He's come through somebody inviting them. And so that's a helpful way of showing welcome to people. We say, welcome, here is Christ. We want to welcome you to him, rather than just merely to us as a fellowship, as a church. But then also we want to do welcome to the church. And because we have the cafe now, and we never did, and most people who came to our gatherings were known to us, so they actually came through a relationship. Now we're also getting that, but we're also getting folks who might come to the cafe once, find out that there's a church here, just because we're a little bit more public. And we need to welcome these folks well into us. They feel loved, they feel cared for. And we've been doing that by sharing food together after the gathering. Again, this is not to replace you inviting people to come share food with you. This is just saying there is something, regardless of you pursuing people, you inviting people into your lives. And so, in one sense, this GC is kind of standing in the gaps, helping you maybe with some of the relationships that you have. Maybe if you've got folks and you've been loving them and caring for them, and you can use the Christianity Explored and say, hey, well, why don't you come with me to Christianity Explored? Would you find that helpful? Then that's a great way where we can serve. But also, there are folks coming in who we can get to know who may end up being more in relationship with some of you guys than they are with us, but we can just serve by being available, making ourselves available to them at the very early stages of their relationship before they know, you know, what gospel community they would, if they did decide to join, that they wanted to be part of. It just provides just a care and a concern and a love for people. So that's the welcome GC. There is the, I'm going to call it family, and then I'm going to describe what we're going to do so you can work out. Names are not that significant, but we will come up with helpful names. We recognised that there was an opportunity that we were having, and we saw this in the cafe, we saw this with our relationships with folks, and we see it in the season of the life of some of the people who are part of this church, not everybody, but some of them, that we were just coming into a lot more contact with families, and particularly folks with families where they were going to school age group. And so we thought this is an opportunity for us, this is a particular opportunity right now to run something that would really be consistent and could continue on in our church. A growing church will always have a whole host of people joining them, which will include families. Many of us are at the school gate, many of us are in relationship with people, whether we're parents or not, who have children. This is an opportunity to support the relationships that we already have with people who have children. And so the idea is that we would run a weekly kids club, a fun club, an exciting club, where loads of crafts and activities, but also we're just sharing something of the hope of Christ with people. So this is not the GC if you are if you've got like children to be in necessarily, though you may choose to be part of that, but it's one that will help serve the relationships that you already have with people, because you can come along with them to this children's work and really just walk alongside an opportunity to spend time with folks that you already know. But also, there's loads of people coming to the cafe, absolutely loads, who have children. And do get involved in some of the summer stuff that we do. Really enjoy the stuff we do with the crafts and the stuff which Sam's doing. I think there's a real need and desire. Parents do want their kids to be involved in things that are healthy for them. I think this could be a really great thing. So there would be a community that would be shaped around there. So it's a weekly thing. It would happen midweek, not on a weekend. It would happen at a slot that parents could come to either before or after food, but enough that they can get back for bedtime. It would be aimed at sort of primary age, but recognising that we will need to have a provision for families who are coming with younger kids as well. And we wanted to be something that is not where the parents don't just drop off and go. They come and engage and be part of that and enjoy being part of that. I think I've done okay in describing that one. You can ask questions at the end. And then finally, we're saying the other focus would be around connecting people. We've called it events or hospitality. We'll come up with a proper name for it. But we all have relationships with people where maybe these are folks that maybe people we just know, and we want to connect them with other people who are also believers. We also have people in our lives that maybe we don't connect with that regularly, as in like we want to, but just at this time it doesn't seem the right time. I think there's an opportunity to have some quality events done, and we're not an events church or anything like that, but just hear me out, done well, that will just enable those who are just on the outside, who are looking in, to connect with us in a way that furthers our opportunity with them, but also their connection with the church and with people in the church, who are the church, the people of the church. So we have friends in our lives who I can think of now that I would invite them to, but I don't really get an opportunity to spend a weekly time with them right now. It would be a prompter, an encouragement to me that there would be some things I could connect them with, and also that it's connecting them with other believers as well. Does that make sense? So some of these events that we have already done, we've done a Christmas thing that's been great in the past. Actually, I don't think we've done an Easter thing. We're saying seasonal events, but actually, I think there's only really two seasonal events that we actually do rather than three. But I think Easter is obviously a great opportunity of connecting. People are more open and willing to be involved in stuff at these seasonal times. And also because they're kind of like gospel opportunities. We've been involved in a summer event where we, in the past, have run a whole thing ourselves. And then we decided that we'd help out in the High Street one to be a support to that. That's kind of not happening this year. So we'll be involved maybe in something in September where at Rookery Park again, that the Friends of Rookery Park are organised. So these are not things that we always do on our own, but we can connect with these things. Again, opportunity to invite people to. The Christmas one has been fantastic, hasn't it? Loads of people hear the gospel story, families, other folks in the cafe who've just come through and just really enjoyed hearing that. But also other kind of sewing events where, you know, a curry and quiz. We won't go into listing them, but you can kind of imagine the sort of thing. Some may be smaller, some may be larger, some may be everybody, some may be by the nature of organising them, smaller, not open. So you know, I suppose if it's a men's thing, then it's open to all men, but not all women. So there may be a mixture of that. That's yet to be worked out. They don't need to be Erdington-centric. because I don't want us to be an urgent-centric. We are, by sheer weight of numbers, urgent-centric, but that's not our desire. That's just the reality of where we are. We want to reach anybody in the whole of the city, but you know, our opportunities are definitely in the north of the city for sure. So that's the kind of third GC. Now, does anybody have any questions on just the things that I've shared there? We're all very quiet today, but this is okay. Is it hot? Is that an excuse? Yep.
The core of mission, the heart mission, I don't think you're going there next. It's still in the day to day, in the life to life relationships.
Yeah.
You go there somewhere.
Yeah, but you're okay?
I think that's just.
Yes.
I found that helpful.
Yes.
Because I processed how the GCs will work.
Yeah.
With your mission.
Yes. Yes.
That's the heart mission will continue to be.
Yes. Hillary's just saying, could there be a tendency, if we do these things, that it might be that we put our hope into these events as if they're the things that are going to make disciples? And the answer is, of course, we could, you know, with the family thing, we could, we don't want to get to the point where we go, okay, over to the family team, look after our relationships. No, we want to come along with people and pursue people who we are going with to that. Same with the events, and again, in a similar way with the welcome. The bread and butter of seeing disciples being made is us engaging people with the gospel. There is no, there will be no victory won without the hand-to-hand combat of discipleship. We have to be involved in that. We have to engage in people's lives. We have to share Christ with people. We have to love people well. We have to care for people well. We have to do those things. And we're kind of doing that together, but also we're doing that sometimes on our own, but together. Do you know what I mean? Like, people are for us and with us as we do that. So that was helpful. Thank you.
I just make a comment.
Yes.
We're local people, and we're Christians living in the Urbanton area. So it's coming here is quite new to us. But just in response to what you're saying, maybe linking what you were saying, is that there's part of me that's kind of broken, but I'm working with broken people.
Mm.
If that makes sense. So that kind of overlaps family, missionary, and servants. So, for example, privilege of working in a local food bank, and that sort of gives you a tip of the iceberg, or maybe a barometer of what some of the concerns are, which are quite far reaching. And maybe the acid test is if God enables me to share my faith with somebody at food bank. But the human side of me would say, well, that's kind of unlikely that they'll respond. But actually, they might respond. Might connect. And I suppose today coming here, I'm thinking, well, would I bring somebody along here who actually uses food bank? And maybe if I was to say yes, it's not my responsibility. I mean, the cliche is to say, well, you know, that's God's responsibility, not mine. Does that make sense? Sometimes that could be a cop out. But I think the things that you're saying is it's about creating an environment, isn't it? You know, we are the people, we should be taking responsibility. So it's kind of doing the ordinary things well, isn't it?
It is.
You know, there's sometimes when I need family, or there's sometimes when I feel quite vulnerable. There's times where I feel exposed, where I'm less energetic, feeling low, where I need support from family.
Yeah.
And I've got less emotional space, spiritual space, to be a servant, if that makes sense. So I suppose that the whole thing about this is it's not an answer. It's kind of dynamic, isn't it? You know, if you're doing lives together, it's dynamic. The challenge to me from being here today is I need to keep as close to God as I possibly can. I need to do that, and I need to take it seriously. If I don't take it, and I'm, you know, if I don't don't take it seriously, then I can't, I've kind of had it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do it on my own, on my own strength.
Yeah.
And my battery's going to wear out, if I can use that sort of analogy.
Yeah.
So I'm just an ordinary bloke from this area who wants to attach importance to God, but actually knowing that it's kind of difficult.
Mm.
And I appreciate what's been said today, the kind of elephants in the room and some of the challenges, and I kind of take that seriously. Because that's, you see, if I'm not challenged as a Christian guy, and I'm just ordinary, but it equates to turning the battery off and just being lukewarm, does that make sense? And just going through the motions of a church program, which would be easy to do, and not give a monkeys about anybody in this church, which can happen, then for me that's kind of not okay. So I'm kind of sharing for its worth as an individual bloke in this area.
Yeah.
So what's going on today? Hopefully, perhaps touching on some of the things that we spoke to today.
Yeah, it's helpful.
Is that okay?
Yeah, it's brilliant. No, it's good. That's why we're here, for folks to sort of share. And I think that would be our recognition that we can't do things on our own. And that's why being part of a close family is absolutely necessary. In fact, you could probably say that faith is never individual, but always personal and communal. So it's never individual, it's never just about us, but it is personal and communal. And to recognize that God is calling us not on our own, but to something, which is a people, is just a helpful understanding of what the gospel is about. He's not just calling us to be on our own, he's calling us to do something. And so this is about just us thinking about how do we work together to serve one another in being on mission and to be on mission together. I suppose it's just that's what we're grappling with. Rather than just have, okay, small groups here, ministries here. So you've got to be part of a small group, you've got to be part of a ministry. Now you've got to be part of something over here as well, and having that sort of tension between who I'm with. They're not saying they're bad things, they're just saying there is a tension there, at least I've felt tension. How do we work together and do it together as if that's the Lord at working in us and through us as family?
Food banks.
Yes.
Why are they going on? They're going on because our world is being shaken, and the establishment will not own up to the real suffering that's going on. Now, if that isn't an excellent missionary opportunity, then blindness is at work. However, the issue is deeper. Chairs, if the economy is really being shaken and all the indicators look as if that is what is going on, the men, forget about the sexist side of it for a moment, that's my inadequacy, the men particularly will feel extremely vulnerable. Why? Because the model of the world is failing. Now, one word is echoing that was given to Shirley and I a week ago from another denomination. Jesus has the victory. You'll be delighted that I'm sharing that in your direction, Jess. But it is the working out side of it.
Yes.
Now, that is an echo of what I tried to put in macro sentences earlier.
Yeah.
And one example is bubbling there.
Yes.
Now, there will be others.
Yes.
But that affects how the people here are looking at what is going on. It is not a food bank that is going on. It is a symptom of what is going on.
Yes.
Now, I've wrote one thing here. is this a season, as many, many Christians want to believe it, because it's the easier journey? But now I'm going to go for gold. What if it is not a season, but it is our direction for the words you're using? Now, no one knows how long that direction is, Jez.
Yes.
But the symptoms, if you're keeping a medical model going, are growing.
Yes.
They are not lessening.
That's right.
And I'm delighted by that contribution. I hope those words have made some sense.
And I think it provides an opportunity for us to show Christ's love to people in a broken world, isn't it? It's, they say it's not merely a few things or at one particular area, but there's much about our Western society that is, and our philosophies that are proving not to be of sound. Yeah, not to be sound. So it provides an opportunity for us, doesn't it, to speak into those areas, to love folks who find themselves experiencing something of the reality. Yeah, yeah. Anybody else got any other questions about these? And I'll just share them very briefly to finish about kind of a way forward. Well, what does this mean? What does this mean? Well, it means that if you our goal is that everyone's part of a gospel community, because that's the life of the church. So a lot of people are, quite a high number are. What's it going to mean? It's going to mean in some way or another, our gospel community is going to change. Maybe for some it is no longer going to exist, and something else is going to exist in its place. And for others, it's going to be that some people might be part of it and some people might not be a part of it. So that's going to change. But also, we're going to need to decide which one that we would like to be part of. And you might choose for different reasons to be part of different ones. So for some of us, we'll be absolutely passionate about a particular mission and we want to be part of it. That's it. That's the one that we want to be part of. For some of us, there's some people that we've been around where we just like being family with them and really enjoy that and find that helpful. You may choose to be part of that one for that reason. For other ones, you might just see an opportunity where you can use something that you've got to be helpful in a particular area, even if maybe it's not your one passion. Maybe your passion you're going to fulfill in more of an individual way. But we're going to have to change. There will be some change for us. And so I suppose I want to just prepare us for that, so that we can end well and start well. I think those things are important. We've learned that before, that celebrating what God has been doing amongst us as things come to an end is important, but then also embracing and moving forward well is also important. So the plan would be that these new groups would start in September, and therefore existing gospel communities would continue through to September and give a good period of time for that GC to celebrate and to enjoy and to remember what the Lord's been doing amongst them. Because there is much to celebrate that God has done amongst us, so that we would grab, you know, so that we might be able to fully commit to what's going forward. So in terms for you guys who are thinking about which ones you want to be involved in, I just want to encourage you to pray. Take opportunity going forward now just to seek the Lord. It's not about, you know, the practicalities of things, what I can or can't do. It's more about what do you want me to do? What's your will for me to do? Which one would you like me to be part of, Father? And I believe that because the Holy Spirit's living in each of us, he can speak to each of us. But also you might want to talk and discuss. I want to encourage you to do that. You might want to talk and discuss with your existing gospel community leaders and ask their opinion on what they see in you and where they might feel that you would be helpful, useful for the kingdom to be involved in. And then also want to encourage you to ask, as in, if there's some things that you don't understand, ask, talk. I'm available to talk. Gospel community leaders who have talked about this already, you know, you can ask them as well. And then it's really about deciding, isn't it? We've got to decide which one we feel the Lord will be leading us to be part of. And what we're saying is that's the 12th of August is kind of the deadline, if you like to put it that way. I don't like to put it that way. But that's the goal, that we would all know by that time. Again, we trust the Lord that he will speak to us, he will make it clear. That sort of gives us 5-6 weeks to seek the Lord. So it's not a rush for us. If you kind of already know, you can let me know. That's what I would encourage you to do, to text me or email me. I think I would prefer it that way rather than just tell gospel community leaders. Then it's another step for me to discover. And I might call, you know, I might send you a text and say, hey, how are you doing? And you might, I've already spoken to somebody about this. But if you just, most of you will know my number, or you've got the email address, jez@oikos.co.uk. Happy to meet with anybody who wants to discuss further. So, just to clarify, the family one is not the family one moving and becoming a new family one. The family one can be completely different from that. And in fact, you know, the leaders of that group, we already know, will not be the same leaders. So we know there will be changes there. The only one that is going to kind of be doing similar things it's already been doing, though it's going to be changing and trying to work it out, is the welcome one. And not all the people who were in the welcome will stay in the welcome, and that new people will join that welcome. So that will be different. So there will be a bit of change, and I'm just aware that that can be hard and difficult. So I don't know whether anybody has any questions about the process, I suppose, for us now to go through, or the implications of what we're talking about are. Yes.
What would happen? I'm not sure. What would happen if, say, two of the GCs were absent for, as in, like, loads of people wanted to be part of those two GCs, and then one of the other ones has only 5 or 6 people?
Sorry, can you just repeat the question?
The question was, what happens if, in terms of the missional priorities, quite a lot of people put their name down for two of them and not so many for one of them? I think the answer would be that we would just need to talk about that and see if what that group is doing is able to be done with the number of people that they are in that group. I think the other thing is, it could be that there are multiple gospel communities around similar focus, that they work together in fulfilling that focus together. So there will be inevitably some things that just need more people to do them, and it might be that there are two gospel communities, two families, two missionaries, two groups, family doing that together, but they just join together on that joint focus. They're reaching people on their own and together and living life together, but together they come together for that focus. So I don't know if that kind of answers the question. I don't 100% know, and that's part of trusting the Lord, isn't it, that you can choose to be part of anything that you want to be, and that's okay. Anything else? I know for some of you, this is the first time that you would have heard any of this stuff, and maybe some of it's gone over your head. That's okay. Just let land what's landed. Is that a question?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So those who didn't listen, Ben, it's been recorded. Yeah, listen to what I said before. But I'll repeat it because I think it's helpful. So September is when these new groups will start. Folks have the opportunity of just 5 weeks of praying, seeking the Lord, talking with people, discussing with stuff. And then the idea, it would be great to have 2-3 weeks before they start to know who's going to be part of those groups so that people can be in contact with one another. Yes, Jo. Yeah. That's good. That's good. It's just good to remind ourselves. Yes. Yes. We might be talking about some of the bits of how, but really this when we're part of this mission, it doesn't feel like it's organized. If that makes sense. Well, it does feel like it's organized, but I mean do you know what I'm saying? It doesn't feel like it's all about all this. This is like a peer behind the curtain. Yeah, and this stuff we don't need to always know, but in terms of making decisions, it's just helpful to know why we do what we do. We want to grow mature in Christ. Here's some of kind of thinking through why we do what we do. Does that make sense? And then when we're doing it, it just feels like we're sharing with our friends, with our family, with our neighbours, with our work colleagues. We're serving together and we're just enjoying living for Christ and being with Christ and being with one another. So yeah, thank you, Joe. Anybody else? No? Brilliant. Well, I am available afterwards if you just want to chat. We'd love to chat with you guys if you have any questions. But I wonder whether... Kenny, would you like to just pray for us in this? Yeah. And questions might come to you, and that's why I'm encouraging you to speak to your gospel community leaders. You might not want to voice them in public, or you might not know how to voice them. Speak to folks that you know, and we'll talk through this. Thank you, Kenny.
Yeah, Lord, we just love you. We just thank you for the tremendous privilege we have, Lord, just to love one another, to serve one another, and to love this community and share the gospel. Lord, even as we've been reminded from your word this morning in the sermon that, Lord, the fields are wide into harvest. The laborers are few. And so, Lord, we pray to you, the Lord of the harvest. And we ask, God, that in every way that you might lead us, that you might guide us by your Holy Spirit. That, Lord, you would show us exactly what you would have us to do and how you would have us to do it. And Father, as a church family, we just commit all of these things to you, and we just very humbly ask, Lord, that you would continue to be at work in and through our church, that we might see many disciples made, that we might see many come to faith in you, Lord Jesus, not for our glory, not for our namesake, but Jesus, for your glory, for your namesake. May we see men and women, boys and girls, young people across our city come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, as we organize ourselves in such a way that we want to see this happen, Lord, we again ask that by your Holy Spirit that you would lead us. And Father, as we are each praying and seeking your will and your purposes in our life as to which group you would have us to join, Father, we pray for each of us that we would be listening to your Spirit, that you would clearly show each one of us, Father, where you would have us to go, which group we might join. Again, Lord, that we might love one another, that we might love you, and that, Lord, we might see many come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. We love you, we exalt you, and we thank you in all these things. In Jesus' name we pray.
Super practical now. If people wouldn't mind helping us with just the clear up of the room. So if you can take responsibility for your own table, all the crockery to the kitchen, Bibles and pots of pens go in the cupboard just by the door, and then chairs on the tables. That would be awesome. That would really help. Thank you.
Yeah.